Today, I want to talk about how to identify the Spirit's leadership in order to avoid sinning. Now, the two sort of go together. That if I am to avoid sinning, overcome sinning, I've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. I have to walk by the Spirit of God, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture reference for today, we'll try to examine this verse today, is Galatians 5 and verse 16. If you would turn there. Galatians 5 and verse 16 sort of gives us a guideline on how to be successful at overcoming sin, putting sin out of one's life. It says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay. How do I avoid the lust of the flesh? Well, I walk in the Spirit. And it goes on. It says in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the Good News Bible says this, same different translation. It says, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. So, what can we conclude if, you know, temptations overwhelm us, if we are struggling, if we're ruled by our lust, if desires of the flesh overwhelm us, what can I conclude by that? As Paul mentions in Romans, he says, I don't do the good I want to do. Instead, I do the evil that I don't want to do. So when that is occurring in my life, in your life, what can we conclude by that? Well, we can conclude that more than likely the problem is I have not been walking in the Spirit. Pretty simplistic, at least I think so. Because it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you with me? Okay, all right. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Okay, we've already gone to that. And you cannot do the things that you would. Have you ever fallen into that category where it's not an issue of not knowing. You know it's wrong. You can't do the thing that you want to, that you know is, you know, you can't do the things that you would. I think we've all fallen into that category from time to time. In other words, you do that what you know is wrong. You commit sin. That is sin. Sin is the breaking of God's law. It wasn't a matter of ignorance. You knew it wasn't right. So here is a little expression, you cannot do the things that you would. And what is the problem? The problem is not walking after the Spirit. So what does that mean? How do we walk after the Spirit? I'm going to try to answer some of these questions. Well, I'm trying to give you some insight on how to follow the Spirit of God. The Good News Bible, we'll read this, says this, different translation, same verse. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is opposed to what our human nature wants. These two are enemies. And this means that you cannot do what you want to do. In other words, it's like a war zone. You're in a war zone. And a lot of times when you're in that battle, you know, you're thinking about all the things that you would like to do that are right. In other words, if you were literally in a war zone, fighting, a soldier, you would be thinking about all the other things. You'd think, I'd really rather be back home in my own country. I'd rather be with my wife, you know. But because you're engaged in the battle, you know, you're thinking about the things you would rather be doing. You don't relish the battle. You don't like the battle. And often, it is a losing battle that we struggle with because the flesh is weak. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said, what? Could you not watch for 1 hour I mean, he wasn't asking them to climb Mount Everest. He wasn't saying, you need to overcome this horrendous addiction. He said, couldn't you just stay awake for 1 hour and watch? And then he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weak. Okay. So if we can figure out how to walk after the Spirit, maybe we will not have to engage the battle. At least it's not as much as we do. If we can just figure out how to walk after the Spirit, we won't have to engage this battle. Someone once said, I forget who said it, he said this, I love this. He said, when you are prepared to fight, you won't have to. When you are prepared, you're ready to fight, you won't have to. And our greatest struggles and battles occur when we least are prepared or expect it. I mean, we're just not prepared at all. We're not ready to fight. And boom, we're taken out, we're taken down, temptations come, and we fail when we're least prepared. Have you ever, I mean, maybe you've even noticed, I've even noticed this in your demeanor. You could have a certain demeanor about you. If you walk into the store, you know, feeling sorry for yourself with your head down, you know, like that, and people run all over you, you know. They treat you like a doormat. But have you ever walked into a place and maybe you've just hit your finger with a hammer or something, and you're I'm ready, you know, you're sort of a little bit upset, angry or whatever, maybe, and you walk into the store and people treat you like royalty. You know, they open doors for you, and they almost can tell, they can sense your demeanor, because you're ready. You're prepared. You're ready to fight. So we go back. When you are prepared to fight, you will not have to. Now, I want to tell you how a lot of Christian people read this verse. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, try harder, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Nothing wrong with trying harder. I'm not knocking trying harder. That's a good thing. But that's how a lot of Christians read that. You know, if I just try harder, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I try harder to overcome, if I go to an AA meeting for my alcohol problem, if I pray more, if I fast more, if I study the Bible more, if I try to be a nicer person, if I give more money to charity, if I'm just a more loving person, if I just try harder to walk in the Spirit, a lot of people look at that and think, well, if I just try harder to overcome my problem, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. No. No, it's not. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trying harder. Nothing wrong with any of the things I just listed. But that's not the point. You see, the sin that you struggle with, the sin that I struggle with, is not the problem. That's not the real problem. It is only a symptom of a much greater problem. And the greater problem is you're not walking after the Spirit. That's the greater problem. The sin is just a symptom. It just reveals to you something else is going on in your life. It's not the real issue. And a lot of times we get sidewinded and because we think, well, the sin is the real thing, my thing I'm struggling with. No, it's only reveals something else, that you're not walking after the Spirit. In Romans 8 and verse 12, let's turn there, Romans 8 and verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to live to the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We are not debtors, you know, to live after the flesh. You know, living after the flesh, everything about our flesh is not bad. It doesn't mean, when it talks about living after the flesh, it does not mean living, you know, continuous necessarily, just living in sin or the sin life. It means living the self life. There's two opposites here. The flesh, living the self life according to your will. The self-life. Now what is versus allowing God to accomplish His will through you? There's almost two opposites. There's living the self-life according to your will. Where do you get up every morning and you think, what am I going to do today? You think about it and you think, I want to do this, that. And the concept that God may have something he wants you to do, accomplish, never enters the person's mind. It is a lie. It is the self-life, where you're ruled by the flesh, what you want to do, what you're going to accomplish. And like I said, the idea that, wait a minute, maybe God wants me to do, maybe he has something for me to accomplish in this life. That thought never really enters that person's mind. So it means living the self-life according to your will versus allowing God to accomplish his will through you. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Okay. How do we put to death? That's what that word mortify means. How do we put to death the deeds of the body? Well, by walking after the Spirit. By giving up the self-life. By acknowledging God has something he wants me to do. Self-life. Giving up the self-life. I don't even like the sound of that. I mean, you start tensing up and thinking, self is all I got. I'm sure not going to give it up. Giving up the self-life. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Let's look at that verse. I think this is a verse that Christians, that we, probably a lot of people don't get. Maybe we don't get. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Think about that. God comes along and says, you're not your own. Oh, yes, I am. For you are bought with a price. You've been brought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God comes along and says, I want you. I want all of you. I want your body, flesh. I want your spirit. I want everything. I want from wingtip to, you know, from head to toe. I want everything about you. All of you. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about surrendering ownership of the self-life. Surrendering ownership of the self-life. Again, the sin you struggle with is not the problem. It's only a symptom of a much greater problem. And that greater problem is not walking after the Spirit. In fact, giving up sin sometimes might be a cakewalk compared to surrendering ownership of the self-life. That can be tough. And it's almost God comes along and says, let's make a deal. Remember that show, don't you? Let's make a deal. God comes along and says, let's make a deal. You really want to give up that sin life? Let's make a deal. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Self-life. That can be tough. That can be tough. Now, I want to help you how to identify the Spirit's leadership to avoid the sin life. And we'll go through five questions that may help you channel your thoughts and study yourself and see where maybe you haven't been following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. First question. What do you keep talking yourself out of? What do you keep talking yourself out of? Constantly, you have to make updates to this kind of thing, thinking, have I talked myself out of this today? Oh, good. Yes, I did. Yeah. Okay, here we go again. I need to talk myself out of this. What have you been, I mean, and this is not just a flippant one-time thing. This comes around, and then it comes back around, and then it comes back around. It comes back around a week later. It comes back around a month later. It keeps rearing its ugly head again and again and again. What do you keep talking yourself out of? There's the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Leadership of the Holy Spirit. What do you keep talking about? Is that something, you know, God wants, It's wanting you to do something. And I keep talking myself out of it. Okay. Second question. What areas do you keep making excuses? What areas do you keep making excuses? I'll give you one example. You know, there's a guy, that elderly man, that I knew his wife, I guess, more than him. And I think, you know, I ought to go by and see him. And I think, oh, man, you know, I think, well, I'm going to go by and see him today, but, oops, I'm up in Dan, boys. It's going to be a long trip back home. By the time I get home, it's going to be 4 or 5, 6 o'clock, you know, and I don't have time to do it. And, well, I think I'll do it today, but, oops, something else comes, you know, okay. And weeks, months go by, and weeks go by, and months go by, and months go by. You know, what areas do you keep making excuses? There's the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the avoidance of following that. What, third question, what things keep pestering you? Pestering you. You know, you can't get away with it. You can't get away from it. What things keep pestering you? Like a thorn in the side or something sticking in you. It was probably 2 years ago. Me and Ronnie were driving out to check about a truck. And I said, Ronnie, I just feel like God wants me to do some area maybe of evangelism, and I need to try this thing I'm working on. Is that really in the Bible? And I would like to put it on cable TV. And I said, Ronnie, you know, a strange thing happened to me. I was at a restaurant, and Rocky Cobbler, that's some kind of a name, by the way, that's a person's name, Rocky Cobbler, came up to me and said, he's a preacher, by the way. And he said, I want you to meet, just out of the blue at a restaurant. He said, I want you to meet this guy over here. He said, he owns a cable company, and said, you know, you might be interested one day in getting on that, putting a show on that. I thought, well, this is strange. He gives me his card. I said, how you doing? He gives me a card. 2 years ago, I talked to Ronnie about this. 2 years ago. What things keep pestering you? Leadership of the Holy Spirit. Be able to identify these things. I'm not saying we like these things. I'm not saying this is a thrill to endure. I'm not saying that. Number four, what same thing have you said no to more than 20 times? What do you keep? No. I'm not going to do it. No. 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 Realize, you know, maybe something else is going on here. Now, if it's something you absolutely know is wrong, that someone's trying to get, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about that. But it's an idea. It's something. But you keep talking yourself out of it because you think, well, I'm not qualified. I shouldn't do that. People are better than I am. And no. Number five, what repeatedly keeps coming into your mind, things like need to, ought to, should do? Need to, ought to, should do. They keep coming in and just popping up in your mind. You know, I need to do this. I should do this. I ought to do this. And it just keeps coming around again and again and again. And that's five little things that just, I think, to help identify where the Spirit may want you to go. Because we say no to the Spirit leading more than you can ever imagine. You know, and it's difficult sometimes. Romans 8 verse 14 says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's not, you know, you think it's not enough to have the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. And I want to challenge you to be led by the Spirit. I mean, sometimes you can get to a point where you say, Lord, I don't have anything to lose. Everything I've tried hasn't worked. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm just going to do this. You know, next time that leading comes along, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it and see what happens. So, in conclusion, no victory over sin will be achieved until we start walking after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit means understanding God has a will for my life, and a will that He wants me to accomplish, chances are there's something to pursue every day in your life that He wants you to do. And maybe it's important to realize that we will never understand that will until we realize, and this is a tough one, so tough. Maybe we will never understand that will until we realize you are not your own. You are bought with a price.